Persistent organic pollutants. That's been my shtick for about 35 years. My name is Kate Hughes. I'm Dr. Kate Hughes.
You mentioned the Vietnam War. Was there anything that happened during the Vietnam War where the crossover between war, violence and the environment played a major part?
Oh, definitely. It was Agent Orange. And we didn't know too much about it in the 70s. Like they were using napalm, and that was more obvious and showed there was a lot of media coverage on napalm. But it was on about Agent Orange. And then if the veterans hadn't come home and had those terrible, terrible things happen, and if a man called Pollack, John Pollack, who was professor of embryology and histology at Sydney Uni, and a great moral man, and he was on our committee, and he and some others, older guys, we really picked up on the whole issue about 2,4,5-T and 2,4-D, its use in Australia. There was people at Birrell Creek, there was deformed babies, there was spraying down in Gippsland, and there was all these protests all over Australia in the mid to late 1970s and early 1980s, because they were just spraying the stuff out of hoses. And it was, of course, banned later under the Stockholm Convention as an organochlorine pesticide. So the link for me is that there is a link between warfare and environmental degradation, and to me it comes through chemical warfare. And I think that's something I would very much like to bring people's recollection to and to bring their reflection upon.
Welcome to Understory, this 14th day of August 2019. I'm Elizabeth Poe. In this Understory series on the ecological costs of ANZUS, we will explore a few places where Australia's cornerstone alliance with the United States has had environmental implications. If not for ourselves on Australian soil, then on foreign soil where Australians have ended up fighting wars pursuant to this security treaty. Next week is the anniversary of the 1966 Battle of Long Tan, an event brought more into public consciousness by its recent 50th anniversary commemoration and by a big budget Australian film just released. In this first part of our broadcast, we return to an important focus on Australia's enduring legacy to the people of Vietnam, Agent Orange. Between 1962 and 1972, nearly 60,000 Australian personnel were sent to Vietnam, either as ground troops, as naval presence, or part of the Air Force. Our involvement began with Prime Minister Bob Menzies misleading the Australian Parliament that a request had been made by the South Vietnamese government for us to provide military assistance. It ultimately became a divisive war, and when Gough Whitlam was elected Prime Minister, the Australian component of the war and conscription ended. But the withdrawal of Australian efforts in Vietnam did not end the environmental consequences of the war the Vietnamese call the American War. Today we speak with an American peace activist, Lady Borton.
My name is Lady, L-A-D-Y, Lady Borton, and it comes from Adelaide, so I'm not royalty. In my country, I'm an American citizen. It's a very common name for dogs and horses.
In 1969, Lady Borton was a young volunteer in Vietnam with Quaker Service, working at a neutral civilian amputee hospital in Quang Nhai province. She made it her business to learn the language and the culture. After the American War, she set up one of the first international non-government organizations in the capital of the United Vietnam, Hanoi. Lady Borton has spent around 50 years of her life in Vietnam, these days spending most of her time translating, editing, and supporting other research or interpretive projects. Understory reporter Adrian Glamorgan caught up with Lady Borton during her East Coast tour of Australia last month. In this first part, he asks Lady to focus on the Australian-US legacy of Agent Orange, left behind to disturb public health and Vietnam's environment through ensuing decades.
We call it Agent Orange, but actually there were many different herbicides that were used. The orange is from, they used 55-gallon drums, so they had stripes painted around the drums, which indicated what the chemical was. So there was Agent Purple, and there was Agent Orange, and Agent Blue, and Agent White. The one most used was Agent Orange. The one most dangerous was Agent Purple. Agent Orange had a fingerprint dioxin in it. You burn anything and you get dioxin. Strike a match, fire in your house, your cooking stove, your hospital waste, all of that. The residue that comes after it is dioxin. It's everywhere. This had what we call a fingerprint dioxin. That is a very special dioxin that is one of the WHO listed most carcinogenic, most harmful chemicals. And that was a byproduct of making this defoliant, some of which was produced in New Zealand, a lot produced in my country. The most common chemical is one still used called Roundup.
Agent Orange is a poisonous mixture of two herbicides, 2,4-5-T and 2,4-D, produced by a range of companies, including Monsanto and Dow. Its manufacture creates a form of carcinogenic dioxin, TCDD, which is highly toxic. From 1962 until 1971, the United States used Agent Orange as a defoliant, calling it Operation Ranch Hand. The aim of the herbicide warfare was to spray jungles and remove protective cover from communist insurgents, and also to lay waste to agricultural crops that may have been supporting the Viet Cong in the south. Even during the American War in Vietnam, there were questions raised in international forums about the United States breaching the 1925 Geneva Protocol related to biological and chemical weapons, but the legal basis for this is not entirely proven. Around 31,000 square kilometres of jungle forests were defoliated, stripping bare the land, leading to massive erosion and laying waste to many animal species.
In fact, with that spraying, the spraying was like dust rain. That's a phrase in Vietnamese, very, not even drizzle, just very. Across through the highland areas, any place, but they poured it. They poured it around the bases. So it would have been poured around any bases where you had Australians or you had ARVN, that's the Army of the Republic of Vietnam, the South Vietnamese Army, or the American bases. And I was in and out of those bases in the south. And indeed, there was not a blade of grass anywhere because they had a double perimeter of barbed wire, concertina wire, that's a circle wire with blades on it, two rows of that, and in between an open area that was mined. And they poured it on that area so that the Viet Cong, the revolutionaries, we now use that term in a positive sense, although it was initially a pejorative, so they couldn't wiggle through, you know, because it would be, there'd be watchtowers, they'd be apparent. So it was doused around the perimeter, and then they doused any little bit of green on the bases because you have a little bit of scrub grass or something, and that would be a good place for rats and snakes. So they doused it everywhere. They just poured it everywhere. And you get dioxin in your system by ingesting it. Drop your hamburger, if you're a veteran now, but if you dropped your hamburger in the dirt and you picked it up and brushed it off and ate it, you were actually eating dirt. It's not water soluble. It sticks to mud and dirt. And so you can eat it. It can come through your skin. You get the dust on you. And you can breathe it in through the dust. So our veterans, I'm saying American and Australian and Southern Army veterans, they had quite high exposure to this. Some of the work I did was to look at it environmentally. That's health. And I'll just say quickly about that it's stored in the fat in the body, and you never excrete it. The only people who can excrete it are nursing mothers, so then it's going right to the babies, but men can't excrete it. So you get a body burden of this. It is a very high incident carcinogen and is associated with other ailments. You can have a high level of this and not have any problems. It's like smoking. You can smoke all your life and have no problems. You cannot smoke and have lung cancer. So, but there is an association between smoking and lung cancer. So it's an association. And what we now know is it's associated with birth defects, early onset of diabetes, prostate cancer, perhaps Parkinson's, many associations with it. And actually, we know this from my country because it was used as a farming chemical. and we've seen those effects in farming areas, so not associated with Vietnam. So these chemicals were done, and they were done on very short notice, so they speeded up the process, which meant there was more of this fingerprint dioxin created. It was sprayed widely, and at that time, in my country, in the United States, we did know it was dangerous. People high up in my government did know that. Ordinary soldiers did not know it.
There may be about 28 former U.S. military bases where dioxin levels are at a high level.
You know, I was just saying, you guys were taking baths in this stuff. And he said, I'll tell you about taking baths in it. And he was on the team that loaded the airplanes. So their nozzles, you got the wings and their nozzles. And he said the chemical was so stringent that it just ate through the nozzles, so it's spilling everywhere. It ate through the rubber hoses that they're loading it with. His job, and it was a pump, a big tank in the airplane, and the wings with the nozzles. And what he ended up doing was there was a pump at the bottom of the tank, and it was in a flange. So the pump would burn out when the tank was full, and he would strip down to his underwear and hang himself on the edge of the tank, full tank, so he's up to his mouth in Agent Orange, and with his foot kick the motor out of the flange. And the motor had a rope tied to it, and they pull the rope up, and then they fix it, right? And then somebody hauls him up. So he literally took baths in this stuff, and he would just shake himself off like a dog and put his clothes back on, which had probably been washed in docks and dirt-contaminated water. And he had the highest level of dioxin in the ranch hand study. He said the ranch hand study, the books are cooked. The study was headed by the man who'd made the decision to spray, so he had a vested interest in how the study came out. He had no apparent health problems, except we would go out for lunch. I went to see him a number of times, and I would eat a hearty lunch, and he wouldn't eat anything. And he'd just say, I have all this weight, and I can't lose it. And I didn't say this to him, but I thought, maybe you better not lose it because it's stored in fat, and if it's stored in fat and you lose weight, it's going to be more concentrated, and maybe you'll have health problems. I didn't say that to him. I didn't know him well enough. But then I was at the University of Washington in Seattle meeting with a research scientist who was a government consultant on this, and I told him about this, and he said, you're probably right, because with DDT and the Canadian geese, they got fat up in Canada, and then they started to migrate. They were fat, and they'd consumed all this DDT, and when they migrated, the chemical circulated, and they lost weight. So it was both more concentrated, and it was circulating in the blood, and then they died. So they died while migrating. If they'd stayed in Canada and not migrated, they might have lived. And it was that same dynamic. So we need to look at health. And that includes Vietnamese, of course, because they were working on the bases, some of them who still live there, and they're in our countries now, and they were sprayed.
The Red Cross of Vietnam estimates that maybe 1 million people are disabled or have health problems as a result of Agent Orange, but the United States is critical of these figures. The problem also impacts American veterans, with documented cases of leukemia, Hodgkin's lymphoma, and other cancers affecting the lungs, larynx, or prostate of veterans.
For years, the U.S. government would not address this at all. You couldn't talk about it. And the Vietnamese, you couldn't talk about it in Vietnam because they wanted to have a normalized relation, so they didn't want the Americans to be offended by anything. I worked very closely with a man, now deceased, early researcher, on his articles. I was with the team doing this initial research, and I was the watcher, basically, because it was very interesting because we had the same scientists using they were Canadians, so no vested interests, same scientists using the same method, using the same team, taking two samples of everything, testing one in Vietnam, testing one in Canada at one of the top three WHO certified labs. So, and I arranged for the Vietnamese to go to Canada and see all this. You know, it was interesting because that study was really squelched at the end by the representative from Ford Foundation, and I think it's because it would have shown the effect on our veterans, the environmental things. As I said, you know, we There isn't a residual problem except these sites. And but the political problem on it of what we did to our own people.
The Vietnamese point to multiple health problems, including cleft palate, mental disabilities, neural tube defects, spina bifida, stillbirths, hernias, and extra fingers and toes. Some, like Lady Boughton, are less concerned with blame. Their main concern is to attend to people with disabilities, whatever the cause.
We have ongoing birth defects, some of which might have been caused by Agent Orange, but there were so many other pollutants and malaria, the soldiers' malnourishment. A lot of people died of starvation on the Ho Chi Minh Trail. So many other factors. And my approach is we don't need to know what caused this. We need to help the people who are involved. That's what we do, and the language would be maybe a victim of, if you. And the U.S. has been open and generous on that in recent years, of just looking at the question of people with handicaps. So that one reaches across. The one that doesn't reach across is the unexploded ordnance.
Today we have considered one aspect of the environmental legacy of war, but Agent Orange is only one environmental cost of Australia's alliance with the United States being acted out in foreign places. The Vietnam jungle can be a dangerous place for curious children or farmers ploughing through old paddies when they come upon unexploded ordnance. But we will leave that for another time. Lady Boughton is 76 years young. Vibrant, energetic, thoughtful, knowledgeable, with an eye to making sure everyone in the room is included. She says she doesn't know anything, but somehow she's been the author of more than a dozen books, most popularly perhaps her account of After Sorrow, An American Among the Vietnamese, published in 1995. Thanks for joining us as we explore the ecological costs of ANZUS. But next week, Understory, we'll be calling on you, our faithful RTRFM subscribers, old and new, to renew or join up for the first time. The Understory team hopes to be in the studio during our usual spot, celebrating with you all that RTRFM 92.1, the Sound Alternative, broadcasts, programs like Understory. So be sure to mention us when you ring in. Thanks to Lady Boughton for speaking with Understory this week, and Adrian Glamorgan for the report. I'm Elizabeth Poe, and when you subscribe, give more so you can continue to enjoy Understory each week on air and online.